Today we're on step 8 and 9, and we're on page 70, 6. And we spent last week on really just one paragraph where it says, faith without works is dead. My faith will lead to obedience, and my obedience will lead to works that reflect my faith. And if I don't have the works and they don't reflect my faith, then my faith is not a living faith. It doesn't mean you don't believe, but your faith isn't reflected in your actions in life. And that's what AA is all about. That's why this is in the book twice, right? Or two or three times. And on step 8, what I read last week, I talked a lot about forgiveness, which isn't in the big book. Have you seen? It doesn't say in the big book that we need to forgive. I think it's implied. But I won't be willing to make amends to someone if I haven't broken the barrier that existed between me and them in my mind with my anger. And so when I talk about forgiveness, it means I've changed my attitude towards all those who I harbored negative feelings towards. It doesn't mean that I have to like anybody, but I don't have to hate them or let them bother me or disturb me. Anybody agree with that? Yeah. Why would I make somebody else my higher power? And I lived my whole life by giving power to other people. I didn't realize it. I thought I was in control, but So forgiveness to me, if you haven't forgiven someone, then you're not really willing to make amends to them. And you won't have the proper attitude. And so what's the only thing that can prevent you from forgiving someone? Yourself. Now everybody wants to be forgiven. Anybody here want to be forgiven? Nobody wanted to be forgiven? I'm the only one. I want to be forgiven. And I am forgiven. But it tells me that if I don't forgive, I won't be forgiven. And so I take that seriously. If there's somebody you haven't forgiven, do it. Now, the instructions for forgiveness is on page 67. There are 4 prayers to tell you how to forgive somebody. You look at them as if they're spiritually ill. There are spiritually ill people in the world, aren't they? Yeah. And then they do things that aren't very good. Did you do that at all?
Oh, yeah.
Because they said, spiritually ill, just like me. I didn't like that, but it's true. And I said, we have to see them as that. Now, what I do is I say, if I'm judging anybody, and I probably will judge someone before the meeting's over. Sorry, I don't know who it'll be yet. But I just have to be considerate. I have to practice consideration. And so when I'm judging, I'm saying, I know what's wrong with them, and I'm not being considerate. So my biggest character defect, maybe not my biggest, but one of them, is being inconsiderate towards other people. Now, if I'm inconsiderate, I can't be loving and tolerant, can I? And so then it says the second thing I'm to do is ask God to give me love, patience, tolerance for this person, whoever I'm angry at. That's the beginning of forgiveness, changing my attitude towards them. Then the third one is, how can I be helpful to this person? Remember, we talk about turning our thoughts to others, turning away from these negative thoughts to positive thoughts. Then the fourth thing is a very simple prayer, which is save my life. God, save me from being angry at whatever person, thing, object. Save me from my anger. I don't pray for them. It's good to pray for them if you want. I don't have an opinion on that. But I have to be saved from my own anger. Anybody agree with that? Why? Because it's going to kill me. And the only person who can save me from my anger is God. Because it says we tried to wish and away our and control our resentments. We couldn't do it. We need God's power. So there's several prayers in there. We ask for a change in attitude. We ask for love, patience, and tolerance. We ask for a helpful attitude. We ask to be saved from anger. And then finally, it says, I don't argue with them or get my opinion. What I want is a kind and tolerant view. And look what they say in the book, of everyone in the world. Now, if you have a kind and tolerant view of everyone, then you're a changed person. Now, we don't do that, do we? So when we see that we're not kind and tolerant to everyone, then we have to go through these four or five prayers. So what I've found, if I'm not being kind and tolerant, I just need to stop right away and say, you know, they are who they are, and then I don't have to say the five prayers, and I just say they are who they are, and they don't have to have power over me. So I talked a lot about forgiveness last week. I think it's important. And then they talk about we're going to repair the damage, and we're going to sweep away the debris in our mind that we've accumulated from running the world. Anybody have a lot of debris? Anybody have a huge amount of debris? See, my garage has one stall that's full of crap, and I'm starting to clean it out. I've been studying it for 10 years, and I've started to take some action. Not a lot, but a little bit. But when I came in, I couldn't get my cars in the garage. Get the picture? I had so much debris in my mind that I couldn't even park my car. And then it says, if we haven't the desire to make amends and sweep away, we ask until it comes. Now, ask is a powerful word in Scripture. It's how we use the term for instead of pray, it says we ask in the big book. And it's extremely powerful. It's a form of petition to the power from a position of humility with an expectation that it will be given. And so when you ask in the proper form of humility, it will happen. I guarantee it'll happen. Now, if it doesn't come, it means you're blocked and you just don't want to change your mind and give up your self-centeredness. And if you don't want to do that, see how it works. And then when you're defeated again, maybe you'll do it. Now, remember, it was agreed. I don't know who it was agreed with. I should have my sponsee sign a contract. We're 76. I should have them sign a contract that they're willing to go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Anybody think? And then ask them what any lengths is. And really, any lengths is any lengths. And then the other thing we should ask them to go to any lengths quickly. Remember, it says slowly or quickly, we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Now, it's just my observation that what keeps you from doing it quickly is you. And the slower you do the steps, the less quickly you'll have this relationship with God. And if you don't do them fast enough, you'll never get it. Stu and I had a tragic thing yesterday, which reminded me of my powerlessness. We saw a young man that I saw here last Saturday and told him he was doing great. And he went and worked with his sponsor that day and then drank that night and got a DUI and was in this jail. And we all felt bad. He's had a long history of having trouble staying sober. And then his mother called us yesterday in the morning, and she was a mess. And we went over there, and we tried to get him to go to the ER because I thought he was going to DT and hallucinate. And if he stayed home, I was afraid he was going to drink himself to death. So we got him in car. We took his keys away. We took the phone away. We went into the ER. I talked to the RN there. We made it very clear what was happening. She understood. I said to the ER nurse assistant, tie him in the chair. And then we hugged his mother and we left. And 2 hours later, we got the call that he wanted to leave and he wanted the keys. And, you know, it just reminded me of my powerlessness, reminded me of my moment. It also helped me because I realized that there's nothing I could do that could have helped my son. I was completely powerless. And until we see our powerlessness and completely surrender, I don't think there's any hope for us. And you see, that person wasn't any different than me. And it reminded me of the grace of God. It made me so grateful for the grace of God in my life. I don't know about you, but there's some days when we may have anxiety or worry or, you know, something. And then all I have to do is remember where I was on February 6th and where I am today. And if that isn't enough to make you grateful, I don't know what is. So we're really lucky to be here. So I would go to any lengths. I'm trying to go to any lengths today. Why? I want to be free from the bondage of self. I can be recovered and not have a hopeless condition of mind and body today and not have the obsession to drink, but I won't stay recovered unless I stay in fit spiritual condition, and I have to do it every day, all day long. Did anybody pray when they woke up this morning?
Yep.
See? And the people who do the deal, almost all of them are praying very quickly after they wake up. And it's like a part of my life now. And then I try to pray all day when I get into me. Does that ever happen to anybody? You know, I told you about the grass was a little bit long on Wednesday, and I was upset that they hadn't cut it properly because I thought they'd been there Tuesday. I'd seen their thing, and I was going to call them and, you know, do the usual alcoholic stuff, you know, what the hell are you doing, and blah, 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 blah. And then within like 10 seconds, something said to me, just go swim in the pool, and it's not a big deal. And then they came out and cut it while I was in the swimming pool. Because I had misunderstood what had happened the day before. Anybody relate to that? It's just an example of that my alcoholism, my self-centeredness. So now we're on the bottom of 76, and it says, probably there are still some misgivings. I mean, it's hard to make amends, and it doesn't say you do them all in one day, does it? This is on God's time, I believe, the ninth step. And God will put the right people in your place when it's time. But you have to be willing and ready for when it happens. Does that make sense? Because you never know when you're going to see them. And we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt. Now, it's very important to understand how you've harmed people to make the amends, because you want to repair the damage. You don't want to make it worse. And so when I look at myself, I say, how did I harm this person? And you know, you're going to have them all the time. You're going to have people you interact with and you feel like you didn't act the best way you could have, and how did you harm that person to be able to make the right amends? And this isn't a sorry step, this is an amends step to change the relationship between you and them, and it's from your point of view. You may not have any change in them. This is about you and you making it right, not about them forgiving you. Now, it's important we forgive them, but if they don't want to forgive me, I can't do anything about it. Has anybody ever had a relationship with someone and had a resentment, and you've forgiven them, but they haven't forgiven you, and it's still years later? I mean, that can happen. But you can't change them. You can just repair your side of the street. It says we may feel diffident. Wow, there's a word. Modest or shy because of lack of confidence. About going to someone on a spiritual basis, let us be reassured. To some people, we want to go to them with a spiritual basis of having God with us and the proper attitude, but he's talking about, do you go and talk about God right away and this and that, how you talk to them. To some people, we need not, probably should not emphasize the spiritual feature in our approach. Now, the other thing I didn't mention, amends means to compensate or make up for wrongdoing, to change, to amend the wrong. We might prejudice them. We don't want to prejudice people. Some people don't like God. They don't want to hear about God. He's saying you don't have to go and talk about your changed attitude in the beginning or what changed it. It says, and this is a key two lines in the big book, three lines. It says, at the moment, so what we're at the moment when you're up to step nine, you're trying to put your life in order. Did anybody think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
Now, my life was out of order with God. Anybody else have that? I was playing God. Wow. Didn't work. I didn't realize till I came here that that was the root of my problems. I knew things didn't go well, and I was in conflict with everybody and everyone and full of fear and angry and shame and guilt, but I didn't realize it was that simple. Because you see, I didn't get the card in the mail that said, you are extreme example of self will run riot. Good job. You screwed up your life. You've harmed a lot of people. Fire yourself. And it was signed God. And I didn't get that till I was in AA a few days. But that's really what it was. I've had the wrong manager and I made a mess of my life. Anybody else do that? So now I want to put my life in order where God's God and I'm not God. Now, just a hint from my experience, you have to do that all the time. The 10th step is where you watch all day for when you're playing God. And you're with God, so you can watch it with him and ask him at once to change the way you're seeing things. Isn't that a powerful tool? Because you're in the world of the Spirit on step 10. You've done the relationship with God. And you watch, it says, we watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Watch with who? God. So I can see it. Now, before I had the steps, I wouldn't even see it. I'd just get angry or fearful, and then I'd act on it and, you know, go off. And now I can watch, and it says at once we ask God to remove it. So you have the power now. So that's probably what happened at the pool. God says, well, Michael, you're acting like an idiot in your mind. Just stop it and get in the pool. And it worked better. And then your life is in order with God, and you have to get your life in order with yourself. Anybody believe that? We're out of order because we're out of our minds. Our minds are not in order. Our minds are full of resentment, fear, and shame and guilt. Anybody have that? And we've believed our thinking, and we've acted on it. So we want to see our thinking and get our thinking right-centered on God. And we do that for 4, 5, 6, and 7. And 6 and 7 is where we're asking God all day long to remove our character defects that are blocking us from him. And then 8 and 9, which we're talking about now, is how I get right with the world. I want to be right with the world. I don't want to be afraid of anybody. I've said this before, I think it's true today, that I'm not really afraid to see anybody walk through the door. Because I don't have that I've made amends or willing to make amends to anybody who comes through the door that I've harmed. And I've also had a changed attitude, hopefully, to anybody who comes through the door, so I'm not afraid of them. People who we're angry at, we're usually afraid of. Isn't that true? And so 8 and 9 is how I get right with the world. Now, there's a promise that comes on page 83. We will lose fear of people. Anybody ever heard that? Well, you lose fear of people because you're willing to make amends to them all, and you've forgiven them all. That's powerful. Because I used to be afraid of a lot of people. I used to be afraid of a lot of things. I'm not as afraid anymore. I still get fear, but I say it's not true and it's ridiculous and I don't want to waste any more time on it. And God, let me be in the now, right now. So, but it says that's not an end in itself, but it's a good idea to put your life in order, isn't it? But it says here, and this is a clever line, it's hidden in a big book. I don't think I've ever seen a meeting on this. Discussion meeting, my real purpose in AA, in life, in the world, is to fit myself, I have to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. Now, I used to say my real purpose is to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. That sounds good, but that's not what it says. I have to fit myself to be able to do that. I have to be in fit spiritual condition to be able to serve God and others. Now, when I came in here, my real purpose was to make myself happy. Anybody else have that? And I thought that if I could run the world, I could be happy. I was the only one, I guess. But and I had that delusion that I could wrest satisfaction and happiness out of life if I managed well. And that delusion destroyed my life. So now I can be happy if I'm spiritually fit. And then if I'm spiritually fit, I can be of maximum service in God and the people about us. And that's a real gift of sobriety to me, is to be able to be at peace and be okay. It says, it's seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. And I strongly recommend that before you do any of this, you have a sponsor. You go over it in great detail before you go to anybody about exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. And then there's some strong suggestions just on this page. And then we're going to stop with that today. Smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. We lay ourselves open to be branded fanatics or religious bores. And we may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. So every opportunity you have with other people the rest of your life is an opportunity, no matter what the situation, to carry the message in the book, to be the messenger, right? To be an example of the of what the steps can do. And that's what's supposed to be in AA, right? So the new person will want to have what we have. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. So you have to have the proper attitude. Now, it doesn't say a sincere desire to be forgiven. I think that's the big mistake. You'll go to meetings and you'll hear somebody just gets out of treatment, and within a week or two, they've tried to make what they consider amends with their spouse, and it didn't go well, you know, and they want to be forgiven, and they're told in uncertain terms that they're not forgiven yet. And so they're going to talk about what you do with the family on the next page, but we're just set a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He's going to be interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries. So we're going to have goodwill to our fellow man. This is kind of love your neighbor like yourself. This is making amends. This is changing your attitude. This is repairing your relationships. And remember, you can only repair your side of the street. That's the other thing. I want to repair their side. That's not what this is about. Just my side. I can't do anything about their side. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. Well, if Ebby hadn't talked about God to Bill, we wouldn't be here. Now, Bill spent two pages arguing with him about whether God could help him while he's dying of alcoholism. And then Bill was willing to at least open his mind to believe. And once he did, then the process of God entering into his heart could change. We don't use this from an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. Will it serve any good purpose? We are willing to announce our convictions. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't talk about God in AA. I've had several people through the years tell me they can't stand this meeting. All I talk about is God. I said, well, don't come back. Or I'm not going to change the meeting because they don't want to hear about God. I don't say don't come back, but I say, well, you might want to talk to someone about that, your attitude about God. We can't, because this is, whole book is about God, right? It says we're not going to talk about God on page 62. Or no, on page 45, because lack of power is our dilemma and God has all power. So we shouldn't be afraid of talking about the subject of God, but we have to figure out how to approach someone who's afraid of that subject. And that takes a lot of special time and effort. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions. So I wrote, what are your convictions? What would you announce to someone are your new convictions because of your relationship with God and working the steps? And with tact and common sense. Now, I don't think in the past, and I may still not be the most tactful person, and I'm working on that. I'm better than I used to be. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I need a filter between what I'm thinking and what comes out. Am I the only one? And at the office, the nurses could see my eyes, and they could see what was, and they'd say, filter, doctor, filter, and I'd filter. But, and they were thinking the same thing, you see. And so filtering is good, tact and common sense. I think we filter when we pause, right? When we're agitated or doubtful, that's the process of filtering, letting God stop us. It's the serenity prayer. It's the whole deal. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. Now, this is a very important line because you don't hate him anymore. It's past tense. How we approach the man we used to hate. If you still hate him, your amends are not going to go well. And I didn't realize it. I heard the speaker, and it was so obvious. And sometimes my wife will remind me of this, that what I bring into every situation is what I get. And if I bring love in every situation, I'm going to get love back. And if I bring anger or hate into it, guess what? I'm going to get it back. So you have to have a change in attitude when you're approaching people. And in all relationships, if you're angry or irritated at someone, they're going to suspect it. And if you come to them with love and tolerance, you're going to get back a whole different attitude. Not guaranteed, but usually it goes a lot better. At least you'll feel better. So I have to remind that all the time. It may be it's done more harm than we have done him, but it doesn't matter, because you're here to make your amends and not to get their amends. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, see, that's what Dr. Jung says, we're going to have a new attitude and outlook towards life. I need a new attitude towards other people. I need it all the time. Does anybody judge in here? Anybody go to an AA meeting? You go and you're starting to judge what somebody's saying or how long they're talking or this and that. You know, the usual nonsense. And you want to change your attitude towards that. It's just who they are. If you're in the shopping and they have 80 coupons and you're in a hurry, you just have to change your attitude. I don't know about you, but I almost try to do it almost automatically because I don't like to be irritated. Doesn't mean I don't get irritated, but I don't like to be irritated anymore. So we have acquired a better attitude towards him. So don't go to anybody until you have a better attitude towards them. And we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. And remember it, we read, we are sure they are somewhat at fault. No, we are sure we are somewhat at fault, but they are more to blame. Anybody remember that? That's in step 3. So my buddy Mark G, who's not here today, said that when he ran out of people to blame was when he was really able to surrender. When he couldn't blame them anymore and he had to take responsibility, then he could really look at the deal. And I think that's really true. And nevertheless, with a person we dislike, now you don't hate, but you can dislike. You don't have to like everybody. And you don't have to like somebody to forgive them. And the other thing is you don't have to excuse their behavior. They could have done something really horrible. But that you can still forgive them. And I still like that Sandy Beach thing. It made a lot of sense to me when he's talking about what you can or cannot forgive in AA. Is there like a limit? And he said, we forgive everything up to and including crucifixion. Think about that. Because someone said 2,000 years ago, I forgive them for what they do. They know not what they do. When they were being crucified. And that made a lot of sense to me. I don't have to excuse them, but I can still forgive them. There's something, isn't it? Steve knows, forgiveness is divine. Is that right? That's somewhere in the scripture, I think. Nevertheless, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. And here's the deal. I go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit. And if I have a helpful and forgiving spirit, I may get something positive out of it. Confessing my former ill feeling and expressing my regret. But you don't do so if it causes more harm. And then the ill feeling should usually have caused some bad actions. I don't know if it's helpful for me to go to everybody that I didn't like and tell them I didn't like them. One, I would never finish. And two, I don't know that that would change the relationship because they may not know that. But if I acted a certain way and expressed my ill feeling, then I could apologize for my behavior, what I said. But this other example was Sandy Beach talked about his uncle. He didn't want his uncle invited to his parents' wedding anniversary. It was their 50th wedding anniversary, so this has been going on a long time because Sandy told his sister that, and whenever he comes, it's a terrible event. And he ruins everything. She says, well, that's only when you're there. When you're not there, it's fine. And so he thought about that. So somebody asked him, well, did he make amends to his uncle? And he said, I made amends by loving him. And I really liked that. So I think I'll read two or three more lines and then we'll quit. Was this helpful so far? It's really powerful stuff. I've read it a million times. Oh, here it is. Under no conditions do we criticize such a person or argue. Yeah, we don't want a discussion. Simply, we tell them that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. Now, they also say we won't ever get over drinking until we get rid of our resentments, right? And we won't get over drinking unless we're free of anger, right? And so I have to do my utmost. It doesn't say I do it perfectly, but I have to do my utmost to straighten out the past. I am there to sweep off my side of the street. I have to remember that all the time. It's not what they say or do, it's me. Realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until I do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. So you're not going to somebody and getting into a long discussion and then what they did and you didn't do and this and that. That's not what this is about. That's why be careful before you do any of this till you've thought it out and you talk to someone about it. A lot of people write a letter early in recovery and they're going to send it. Make sure your sponsor reads it. Go over it, because I don't think till you're at a certain spiritual level you're able to do this step properly. It was very confusing to me, but the steps are numbered. I mean, it's, you know, they're numbered in an order, you know. And 9 is after 8, and after 7, you get the picture? You have to have taken actions to get up to a certain spiritual point to be able to make amends. And you have to have and when you're in this step, it says you've had the relationship with God now. And so the amends process can go on forever. And in step 10, it says you're willing to make amends if you've harmed someone that day. And so it goes on forever. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. We should say that at a meeting when someone's going on and on about somebody. We should say, well, you know, we don't discuss their faults. Well, then everybody would think you're terrible and they'd yell at you. But, I mean, really, we don't want to look at other people's faults. The fourth step is about looking at our responsibility for the situation and what we have done and how we can change. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. Now, how do you get a calm, frank, and open manner?
Pray,
and you make sure you bring God with you. One thing that's good, I always tell people to take an extra coin, is carry a coin with you when you go to make amends. Or if you're in a difficult situation early in recovery, I should probably still do that today, have a coin in your pocket. I know when I went through some tough things early in recovery, I carried a coin with me all the time. Reminded me that I'm never alone. God's there all the time, and you guys are there with me. So we're never alone. So I think I'm going to stop there. Powerful stuff. And then next week we'll go through, finish that. And then we're going to look at money. Anybody owe money when they come in here? Nobody? Anybody have legal problems?
Yeah.
No, none of that. Then we do some general principles. Then we start talking about family. So, great stuff. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.